Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Hebrews 2, verse 5 to 12. Now, God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honour, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, actually, good afternoon. I usually try to, when we started doing Zoom, I had the idea of finishing my message at 12 o'clock. This time around, I'm starting. So I'll keep that in mind. Good to see you all. And welcome to all our visitors from around Australia as well. Thank you for the reading, Kate. And thank you also for those involved in the service, the prayers and the children's stories as well. I'd like to just head straight into the message and introduce you to someone. Over the Zoom meetings we've been having, people have been sharing their soft toys, and I've got a soft toy to show you. I'd like to introduce you to Pig. Pig is a soft toy. He's a puppet. He won't talk. He's a bit shy. He doesn't have a coochie-moochie voice. He has a bit of a guttural back-of-the-throat voice, a lived-life sort of voice. He has a crooked ear, as you can probably see, which one of my sons always tries to straighten up. He has a tongue, and he has a curly tail at the back as well. And I show you him because Pig comes out regularly for our bedtime routines for our boys. Our house bedtime routine is usually a joyful, noisy, laughter-filled and pressing time each day, which is also frustratingly slow sometimes too. We after a full day, it's quite tiring. We have probably 2, 3, sometimes 4 hour dinner, bedtime, bath time routine, which I learnt needs prompting, but not rushing. Rushing these things doesn't work. But part of the bedtime routine is the Pig story. This is Pig. And this is the last thing that happens when my seven-year-old lies in bed. I provide a Pig story. And Pig started out some years ago. And recently, with the Olympics on, I took Pig to the Olympics. And so there was big stories. He went in all the events. He went to the Paralympics as well. And after the Olympics finished, I started running out of stories. And so I had to make up new stories. And because my son doesn't need pig around, but he says, can I have a pig story? And so I had to start making up his own adventures. And I tapped into my own stories of places I've been. And so Pig recently did the Kokoda track in Papua New Guinea, drawing on my trips in Papua New Guinea. He's currently travelling Europe. Last night he went through the Channel Tunnel and he's making his way to England. And so all these stories is making me remember my destinations and places I've been to. And it's quite tiring as well. I must say, I won't say I have been known to fall asleep. I often fall asleep during these stories. And I keep talking in this liminal space between being awake and falling asleep. And the stories go into these weird directions, which my son says, did Pig do that? So anyway, my point is that with these stories drawn from my own experiences, my son picked up on this. And I finished one story and he asked, Daddy, did you really do that? And did that really happen to you? I think it was reference to one of the Papua New Guinea experiences we had being held up with big bush knives. And I was surprised that he knew what I was doing. And then he later asked, Daddy, when did this happen? Like to me, when did that happen to me? And I had to say, oh, it happened 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 16 years ago. And it made me reflect a bit because when our two boys arrived, when they were born, we were in amazement. One day they were not, and one day they were born, they were here, they arrived. But in a sense also, it's hard to imagine life without them. It's hard to imagine that life, that they weren't there. It always seems like the boys were there, even when before they were born. There's a sense of timelessness in the lives that we have. And in this passage in Hebrews, you get this sense of timelessness. Last week, Michael Stuckings gave a message from one of the Gospels. That is one of the stories of Jesus and excuse me a minute. I'm just going to ask my family to turn down the other computer just a sec. I don't know if you hear the echo. Do you hear the echo? Anyway, maybe it's just me. I can hear my voice. So last week, Michael spoke about Jesus, one of the stories. So in effect, we're looking back 2,000 years, interpreting the stories and the place that they were told, reflecting on what they mean to us. But here in this document of Hebrews, we see Jesus as always there. There was never a time when he wasn't. The world, it says, was created through him. And Jesus was there at the beginning of time, and he was in fact there when time was created. And so just as this passage speaks about beginnings, it also speaks of end things as well. It talks of Jesus as sitting down, Hebrews 1 verse 3. In other words, he sat down, it's done, it's finished. It talks about him inheriting all things in Hebrews 1 verse 4. And now crowned with honour and glory, Hebrews 2 verse 9. So this section of Hebrews we're looking at is both about first things and last things, about the beginning and the end, and that Jesus was there throughout. And this passage doesn't too much dwell on the here and the now, although it does, and I'll go to this later, it does mention it. But it's got this larger perspective, which it's talking about. Now, this passage is quite expansive. I'm not going to explain it all. I'm just going to reflect on it and help us to encounter God a little more today. My reflection today is about our destination. What is our destination? Where are we going? I don't know about you, but more than usual, I've been a bit stuck in the daily grind in the here and now, especially if you live in Victoria. This sense that there's no markers or no memories being made. We haven't been able to travel to our destinations. We just had school holidays, and we haven't been able to create those memories of those trips of going to places. We've gone to parks, walked down the road within our 5, 10 kilometre, 15 radius. So our usual destinations have been put aside. And on top of that, we look around us in the headlines in the news, and it feels like the world is in this swirl and just going nowhere at the moment. We can't travel. Young people who finish school can't sort of head overseas for their gap year. We can't see family or go to conferences. International students can't come to Australia, although that seems to be changing soon. Day after day, it seems like we're waking up in the same thing. But I wonder if this longing to go somewhere touches on something deep inside us as a human, a pointer that deep down we as human beings have a destination. A destination set aside for us by God. And you could interchange that word destination for a purpose, that God has a purpose set aside for us, an end goal. Maybe a better way to explain it is during the holidays, my boys asked, when are we going to ... In other words, what is our purpose for the school holidays? Where are we going? We'd like to go somewhere. And my bedtime stories for my boys have been destinations, they've been travels, this sense of purpose, this sense of going somewhere. And so it points to this deep inside us as human beings is this ultimate destination, this ultimate purpose in our life. So I'd like to reflect a bit on this. But first, a few things about this document we call Hebrews. Notice that I didn't call it a letter or a book. Unlike most other books of the Bible in this section, it's not a letter. It doesn't start out with greetings from Paul or greetings from Rome. We call it a book because it comes to us as a book, but at first, when it was first given, I think it's better to describe it as a sermon because it starts out with this quite exquisite language. Now let me read it again, verses 1. This is the very start, verses 1 to 4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact representation or imprint of his very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. It's quite a lovely opening sentence for this sermon. And it ends with, in Hebrews 13, verse 22, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with my word of exhortation. The word exhortation means basically preaching or a message. So this is, Hebrews is like a sermon or a message. So I see my job today is not to explain it all, but to encourage you to read it for yourself. And even better, if you can, read it aloud as it would have been first presented like that. So a few pointers. I wonder if you've heard the saying, in order to know where you are going, you have to know where you've been. Meaning, in order to live into the future or know where you're heading, you have to know the past. And so this document, Hebrews, starts in the past. Jesus, who speaks God to us, we read, was actually there at the beginning of creation. I'd like to just share a picture or a metaphor, which I found helpful from the theologian Michael Jenkins. And he says the Christian faith is like a long rope being pulled. In one direction of the rope, it stretches out behind us to the past, to the start of creation, to before time. And the rope is anchored in the middle, in time and place, with Christ, who lived, suffered, died, and was resurrected. And then the rope extends out into the future, into a misty future, which we can't see, but a place that we know is at home in God. So our faith is like a rope. It's extending through time. And imagine then that we are attached to this rope, or we're holding onto it. More likely we're attached to it, like having a lifesaver donut around us, attaching us to this rope. And with this rope, God strides into our past, into our history, bringing together all the bits and pieces and connecting it to his purpose through creation, connecting it to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came out or into time and space, lived amongst us, walked with us, and he died for all people, connecting us to him. And it says in verse 3 that he purified us. In other words, he made it possible for us to be in relationship with him. He made it all right. And you could see now Christ taking this rope and striding and pulling us into the future, this purpose or this destination which we're connected to. And verse 9 says, in Hebrews 2, says, Jesus tasted death for all people. For all people he did this. So it's just a nice little metaphor that we're not sort of floating around in the ether in our lives in time and space, but we're very much connected to this purpose, this destination of what God is up to. And God is pulling us towards this purpose. So our faith then is oriented to an end, to a purpose, to a destination which God created for us. And this gives us meaning for everything that we experience. Our destination or our purpose is Jesus. Our destination is that we are his children. And in fact, we already are his children, which I'll go through later on, this tension. We are in his family, which it talks about in Hebrews 2:11. So what this means is that our lives are shot through with this eternal significance. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is lost. Everything is connected to this rope. Our lockdown, daily, mundane lives, maybe with no physical destinations at the moment, at this point, has an eternal destination or a purpose to it. And I would say, hazard to say, that the more mundane and the more normal or the more troublesome it seems, the more that we are in touch with the eternal significance. We have this restless sense that things aren't right and that we're being pulled towards something. This is because this is, as a human being, God has this destination or purpose for us. And telling stories to a seven-year-old while falling asleep trying to do it maybe has more eternal significance than I would normally give it weight to. So Hebrews is an important document for us today or in these times because there seems to be a vacuum of purpose or destination in our culture. And Hebrews sort of connects us to this destination or purpose which God has for us in Christ. Now, I mentioned before that the major theme of this section is first and last things. But this passage does mention something of the here and the now. This little phrase at the latter half of verse 8, where it puts us in this tension of having arrived in Christ, but not having arrived yet. It says in verse 8, as it is, we do not yet see everything. So, in some sense, we have arrived at our destination or purpose in that we are in Christ. We're connected to Christ. Christ has risen. Christ is in us. And yet it says in verse 8 that we don't see it entirely, or it isn't entirely being captured in our lives yet. We are also still getting there. And although Christ is sustaining all things, he's crowned with honor and glory, the world continues to manifest evil and disorder. Things go wrong on personal levels, national levels. So as Christians, we hold tight to that rope which stretches through time and history to God's destination. And we hold tight with a radical hope that God is in control. We live by Christ's claim on our lives, as it says, he's appointed heir of all things in verse 2. And we look to Jesus as our pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Nowhere else. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we're connected to the rope that stretches through time. And this rope is in tension. It's stretched. And we know we're going towards somewhere. We're connected to it. We can't be taken off it. And this gives us hope that although we see things otherwise, there is a destination that God has. Now, we may be tempted to allow ourselves to be swallowed up in the sense of smallness and insignificance. We may be tempted to think we're nothing. We may be see our lives as we're born, we struggle, we make half chances, half successes, frailties, mistakes, and we may have the sense of we've got to grab some significance for ourselves. And we may think there's no meaning to it all. But in this document of Hebrews, in this sermon, we see that there is a meaning. There is an ultimate meaning to creation and our lives, together and personally, individually. This document of Hebrews says that you do mean something to God. He loves us, he created us, placed us in a family, and loves what he has made. And beyond this transient life is a life that longs to break forth. As Paul says elsewhere, our Christ is hidden in God, in Colossians. And how can I say this, that this life is breaking forth? Well, Christ has broken forth, and he will break forth in us. And it's not a life in which we have to try to save ourselves. This is done, and it cannot be taken away. We're his children, as it says in verse 10. And Christ is the pioneer and perfecter. Through sufferings, he will do it. And so as we're connected to Christ in his sufferings, we're invited to follow him and join him in this life. Martin Luther King Jr., who's the American, Black American activist, he says, the end in life, and this is in a background of the struggles that he went through. He says the end in life is not to be happy, nor to achieve pleasure or to avoid pain, but to do the will of God, come what may. We have a purpose, a destination, even in lockdown times when we don't have any destinations. There's this greater groaning in us, which Hebrews realizes. So I've gone a bit imaginary on you today. Ropes stretching through time and space, children's stories and pigs. But I hope that the fragments that I've touched on in Hebrews make some sense to you as you dig into this marvelous sermon we find here. And I encourage you to read Hebrews, especially chapters 1 to 2, where you have a narrator, you have Christ speaking, you have God speaking, and this vastness of this life is given to us. And the inclusion that we matter to him. I'd like to just read verses 7 to 8 of Hebrews 2, which is quoting Psalms 8. And I'd like to read it from the Voice translation. And I've dropped the term son of man, which basically means us humans, and I put in the term us. It starts out and says, "I can't help but wonder why you care about mortals or choose to love us. Though he," referring to Christ, "was born below the heavenly messengers, you honored the Son of Man, us, like royalty, crowning him with glory and honor, raising him above all earthly things, placing everything under his feet." So it's a wonderful story that we're involved in here. And I'd like to finish up and hand back to Ruth with Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, which says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God forever. Amen."